KMXT in Kodiak, this is the Alaska Fisheries Report. I'm Maggie Wall. Bad news for Bristol Bay developers is good news for Alaska fishermen. Halibut begin hitting the docks in Dillingham, but this year's quota is substantially less than last year. The Bristol Bay Fish Expo is just in its second year, but already it's hit the big time with a major gubernatorial debate. Plus, we'll take a look at how changes in fishing management affect Alaska's fishing families. All that and more coming up on this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report comes from the Alaska Seafood Marketing Institute, working to raise the value of our seafood harvest for the benefit of all Alaskans. On the web at alaskaseafood.org.
A major business deal has fallen through for the proposed Pebble Mine, which some Alaskans are hoping will doom the project that will endanger Alaska's Bristol Bay fisheries. A Canadian mining company, First Quantum Minerals, will no longer back the controversial project. KDLG's Avery Lill has more from Dillingham.
Northern Dynasty Minerals, the sole owner of the Pebble Limited Partnership, announced in a press release late Thursday night that the two companies could not reach an agreement on First Quantum joining the partnership. Back in December, Northern Dynasty said that First Quantum was considering buying into Pebble at $150 million over 4 years. At the end of those 4 years, First Quantum had the option to become a 50% owner of the partnership. According to Pebble, the initial investment would help the permitting phase of the proposed gold, copper, and molybdenum mine in the Bristol Bay region. However, the companies delayed finalizing the agreement in April. Now, they've scrapped the agreement altogether. In response, Pebble CEO Tom Collier said in a statement Friday that the project will continue to press forward. He said, quote, "I believe we will secure the necessary funding to continue the permitting and review process for Pebble under the National Environmental Policy Act. This will result in an environmental impact statement for Pebble," unquote. Environmental groups and some lawmakers were pressuring First Quantum to back out of the deal. Now, opponents of the mine are celebrating. Alaska House Representative Bryce Edgeman of Dillingham called the development significant.
"I think it really is a major setback for those that want to develop the project. And assuming all things stay constant from the recent press announcement, I would foresee that it'd be some time before another major investor would come into the project."
Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation President Robin Samuelson thinks that First Quantum's decision throws the mine's future into doubt.
"Bristol Bay has spoken, Alaska has spoken, the United States has spoken through the EPA process and the Corps process. I don't think there's going to be another big finance company in mining that's going to come in and help these people out. I think the end is very near for them."
This development makes First Quantum the fourth major financing company to back away from the Pebble project. Since the Pebble Limited Partnership was formed, three other companies have pulled out: the Mitsubishi Corporation in 2011, Anglo-American in 2013, and Rio Tinto in 2014. Northern Dynasty's stock dropped 30% on Friday. That brings the company's stocks to the lowest point since October of 2016. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by the Alaska Marine Safety Education Association, providing U.S. Coast Guard accepted hands-on safety training for all of Alaska fishermen and their family. AMC at amsea.org or 907-747-3287.
How Alaska's fisheries are managed has a big impact on Alaska's fishing families. Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio has this report.
The way that fisheries are managed determines the tempo for fishing families' lives. Managers set the dates and times, the whens and wheres and whos, and the amounts that fishermen can catch, plus other rules. What happens to the families when any of those things change?
Those are important for management to kind of try to integrate into the management process and consider during their decision-making process, because really there are universal themes that are coming up.
Marisha Shimkoviak is a social scientist at NOAA's Alaska Fisheries Science Center in Seattle. Her Fishing Families Project has held scoping meetings across Alaska to learn how big management and environmental changes have affected their lives. She cites, for example, the shift to halibut quota shares in 1995. That hurt the paychecks of many women.
When the IFQ program was implemented, she could no longer participate in the IFQ fisheries because the season had become essentially too long and it conflicted with her responsibilities as a mom.
A lack of access combined with a lack of some fish is on families' minds in Alaska.
For some families, there's less of a buffer when a stock declines in terms of their ability to kind of diversify. Then this can really lead to stress within families and really can change the social fabric of fishing communities.
The scoping meetings so far have yielded oral histories of thousands of years of cumulative fishing family knowledge. Shimkoviak says one theme is clear, a sense of pride.
The kinds of things that are built from that experience in terms of shaping young people and creating a work ethic and a sense of place and a sense of community.
A fishing families workshop is set for Monday, June 4th at Kodiak.
That was Lainey Welch.
And just like you, I want to be free. And just like you, I'm on a journey. I'm a wild salmon. So jump on in and follow me. Yo, jump on in and follow me. I was born in a gravel red. Pure water and insects keep me fed. Thousands of siblings just like me on our journey to the sea. I'm a wild salmon, and just like you, I want to be free. And just like you, I'm on a journey. I'm a wild salmon, so jump on in and follow me. Yo, jump on in and follow me.
Halibut have hit the docks in Dillingham. The halibut fishery opened on May 1st, and the first landing was on May 14th. As of Friday, May 25th, there were 8,700 pounds of halibut landed. This year's quota for Area 4E is 34,000 pounds, which is substantially less than last year's quota of 59,000. Gary Klein is the Regional Fisheries Director at Bristol Bay Economic Development Corporation.
It is a reduction. It's basically because there appears to be less halibut abundance in the Pacific, not just in Area 4E, but stretching down to southeast and throughout the Bering Sea. And because of this concern, the regulatory agencies have adopted more restrictive catch limits for 2018.
The decrease in halibut could stem from fishing efforts, competition for the same prey by other species such as arrowtooth flounder, and water temperature. In order to better understand the impacts of water temperature, the BBEDC implemented a regulation last year that requires halibut fishers to deploy a hobo temperature logger with their longline gear.
Basically, it's calibrated to take temperature every hour, and then we could set it at different intervals. The intent of it is to monitor the water temperature within Bristol Bay and to see if water temperature really correlates with halibut abundance and harvest rates within the region.
Klein does not expect this year's lower quota to negatively impact fishermen participating in the industry.
We do have some quota in Area 4D, which is further offshore, also known as the Northwestern Bering Sea. If our fleet catches the quota in 4E, essentially they could fish some of the quota we have in 4D.
Gary Klein, who's the Regional Fisheries Director at BBEDC.
The Alaska Fisheries Report is brought to you in part by Alaska Boats and Permits, marine broker for vessels, permits, and IFQs, 1-800-992-4960, or online at alaskaboat.com.
The Bristol Bay Fish Expo is gearing up for its second annual extravaganza. It will feature a variety of events aimed at developing the commercial fishing industry in the region, as well as Bristol Bay communities. One of this year's highlights will be a debate between gubernatorial candidates. KDLG's Avery Lill has more.
Four candidates running for state governor in November's election will participate in the June 9th debate at the Bristol Bay Fish Expo in Naknek. Incumbent Bill Walker, Mike Dunleavy, Mike Chenault, and Scott Hawkins will answer panelist and audience questions related to the theme Sustainability in Rural Alaska. Rhonda McBride of KTVA will moderate the discussion. Katie Copps-Wilson is an event organizer. She said that holding a debate off the road system will focus attention on issues particular to Bush, Alaska.
This debate is more of educating our future governor in what we deal with in rural Alaska and how they want to sustain the heartbeat of Alaska, which is rural Alaska. And if we don't sustain it, the culture and is potentially lost, but also the out-migration of rural Alaska really affects urban Alaska and infrastructure.
In addition to the debate, the Fish Expo is bringing back some of the most successful events from last year, including a trade show and live auction. Another favorite that's making a reappearance? Speed hiring.
We framed it after speed dating. Captains, potential crew will come and they'll meet and we'll have them organized where potential crew will have 3 minutes with each potential captain. It worked very well, actually. It worked very, very well, and people were very happy with it. We made some good matches last year.
While many Bristol Bay Fisheries stakeholders attend the Pacific Marine Expo in Seattle in the fall, Copps-Wilson said that the Bristol Bay Fish Expo meets a targeted local need.
Here, it's a concentrated market where you're just looking at Bristol Bay fishermen. And so, you know, it's the boat builders who are specific to Bristol Bay are coming up here, you know, and launching their new boats and lines. And it's the businesses that are specific to Bristol Bay now have a venue that they're not drowned out by all these other places. And it's also a very affordable event, which, you know, more local people can participate in and celebrate their businesses.
Close to 50 vendors are registered, and nearly all the tables for the event are sold. That's a slight growth from last year's 44 vendors. All the proceeds from the Fish Expo benefit Little Angels Child Care Academy in Naknek. Last year, it raised roughly $15,000 for the program. Events kick off June 8th with a keynote speech by Katie Ringsmith on the history and legacy of Bristol Bay canneries. The Fish Expo concludes on June 9th. In Dillingham, I'm Avery Lill.
Support for the Alaska Fisheries Report is provided by the Stosh and Claudia Anderson Fund, supporting conservation and harvesting of Alaska's wild, sustainable fisheries.
That's it for this week's edition of the Alaska Fisheries Report. We had help from Avery Lill and Isabel Rose at KDLG in Dillingham, as well as Lainey Welch at Alaska Fish Radio. As always, a big thank you to you, our listeners, and to the fishermen around this great state who head out into those cold Alaska waters to harvest fish to feed the world. From KMXT in Kodiak, I'm Maggie Wall.